Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And over the weekend, I had the treat and the privilege of being at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, for UFC 281. And it was the first time I was ever in attendance for a UFC event, and this thing was off the charts. Like, we had Dana White on the show, and he's been on a bunch last week, and Dana was saying it's going to be one of the greatest live sporting events you've ever seen, and the buzz and how many knockouts did take place. The card was just unbelievable. Chandler and Poirier was the third to last fight, and Dana White said to me afterwards that he knew that was going to be the best fight. He could already pay out all the bonuses before the fight even started. So that was really something. And then being a Long Island guy like myself, we got to see another Long Island guy fight, and that was Matt the Steamroller Frivola, who of course is from Huntington, and all the fans in Madison Square Garden were chanting, "Steamroller!" And Matt's kind enough to join us right now. Matt, I appreciate the time. Congrats on the knockout victory in the first round. How you been?
Oh, of course, man. Thanks for having me. I've been good, you know. Honestly, it's a blessing getting out of a fight with, like, no injuries. You know, that knockout felt like hitting a home run in baseball. You know, it was just a clean hit, you know, no injuries. And I'm right back to the gym helping my team.
So when you're walking out and you're a New Yorker, you're from Long Island, and you're in Madison Square Garden, you hear everyone chanting, "Steamroller!" What's going through your body? Like, what are you feeling, especially when you come out to Timmy Trumpet, some Narcos, a little tribute to Edwin Diaz and the Mets? Like, what are you thinking?
Man, I'm feeling the energy. I'm harnessing that energy, and I'm focusing that energy. You know, I know I prepare the right way for every fight. I'm 100% prepared, and you know, I envisioned that moment so many times, and it was unreal. It's just, you know, the trumpets hit at the perfect time, and then I got into that cage, and I was dialed in, and I was focused.
How did you process the knockout? Because you're right, you walked right into the octagon and you walked out very quickly. You had that celebration where you jump on top of the cage and you deliver that knockout in the first round. Reflect on it a little bit and take me through the actual knockout.
Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, it was like hitting a clean home run in baseball. And then I saw his body drop. And then I hit him with a couple more shots and the ref stopped the fight. And then, you know, I finally got to jump up on top of the cage. That was the first time I jumped on the UFC cage. You know, I only really jump on the cages when I get those first round knockouts, because I got so much energy still. It's there's no better feeling than that, and especially on the perfect stage, Madison Square Garden. It was unreal.
Now, I've been to Mustang Harry's a bunch, you know, going to Ranger games, going to big events at Madison Square Garden. I started following you on Twitter right after the fight, and I see you're partying it up afterwards at Mustang Harry's with all your friends. That has to be the perfect scene, where right after a fight, yeah, you have some people in attendance, you get to see them, but to have a contingency of that many people must have been awesome.
Oh, it was unreal. Walking into that bar, seeing all my friends, my family. You know, we've been on a journey together. You know, I've been fighting all over the country, all over the world, And I'm blessed to have these friends and family who travel the world with me and support me. And we turn it into a vacation. You know, this one, everyone was happy. They didn't have to buy any plane tickets, right? And just take the subway and take the Long Island Railroad right into the city. We had a great time. It was unreal.
Talking to the steamroller, Matt Frivola on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. How'd you get involved in the UFC? How did you get involved in living this lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say I didn't choose the fight life. The fight life chose me. You know, I started just a Long Island wrestler. You know, I was a Long Island. I wrestled at Harbor Fields in Huntington, and I was a good wrestler. I was never a great wrestler. Never made it to states. I got beat up in Suffolk counties. But you know, that was the start. And then I found Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I found Matt Serra, and I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and choking people and submitting people. And then I fell in love with Muay Thai, and you know, and then I fell in love with boxing. And the thing that comes the most natural to me is putting it all together in a mixed martial arts fight. And I think that's what I do best. You know, I'm not the best wrestler. I'm not the best boxer. But you put me in the cage in mixed martial arts, and let me use both of them. Let me use all my weapons, and that's what I'm best at. So it's now we're at the top of the game.
When did you develop that confidence? Just wondering in this journey when you're trying to figure out on how far you could really go with this.
Man, you know, you always got to have your confidence. You know, I've been beat before. I got into the UFC as a 6-0 pro, and then I was a 9-0 amateur. I got into the UFC, and my UFC debut, I got knocked out. And after that, you know, I started really assessing everything, and like kept being more calculated. And you know, I got back to my training, and my training, my hard work breeds my confidence. I know I put in the work. I know I'm ready to go out there and fight. And on my best day, I could beat anybody in the world. And you got to believe that if you want to make it to the top.
What's your normal training like? Like, take me through a normal routine day of training for Matt Frivola.
Well, it's definitely a difference between, you know, a fight camp and then just training. You know, like when I'm in a fight camp, I'm like 10 weeks out from a fight. And that's 100% focus. But, you know, you got to enjoy every aspect of the fight life, of the process. I love getting into camp and grinding for 10 weeks, eating perfectly, getting the best shape of my life, peaking on the perfect time. But then I also love, you know, after a fight, now I'm going back to the gym, I'm coaching my teammates and I'm helping my guys. I'm still training. I'm still having fun. And I'm kind of I'm developing new weapons. And now I want to fight next in March. So, you know, I got the rest of this year to really develop new weapons, have fun. And then January, we get into a fight camp. January, February, I'm ready to go in March. And you know, I do all different kinds of training. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I do Muay Thai. We do MMA class at Longo and Weidman in Garden City. I do Jiu-Jitsu at Sarah BJJ in Huntington. I do my strength and conditioning at Acceleration Sports Training in Deer Park. I do hot yoga at Hot Yoga Carl Place. You know, I've got, I swim at LA Fitnesses. I got my schedule. This ain't my first rodeo.
Right after the fight, and I was on the bridge, so I got to oversee everything, and I saw Portnoy was sitting octagon side, Big Cat too. When did you realize that they were there, and then you made it clear, hey, I want to fight their guy and Patty? How'd that come about?
Oh, man, I've always wanted to fight Patty. I've wanted to fight Patty, you know, for my whole career. I think that's a great fight. You know, just stylistic wise, you know, we're both well-rounded mixed martial artists. And then, you know, my buddy Billy Q, he came up to me. He's like, yo, Portnoy's over here. So then, like, we went over to cage side, and I saw Portnoy kind of just like chirping his hand, like I'm chirping. I told him I'm coming for his boy. I told him I'm coming for Patty. And I'm hoping we get that fight.
Are you a stoolie? Because I saw Portnoy tweet out that you are a stoolie. Like, I love Barstool's content. How about yourself?
I love Barstool. I was a day one stoolie. So I used to go to www.barstool.com back when I was in college and like back when they were small. And then as soon as, you know, I hear they're getting into the MMA game, I'm buddies with Robbie Fox too.
Sure.
I love all the Barstool guys. And then they signed Patty to a 7 million, like a seven-figure deal. And I'm like, what about the day one stoolies? You know, you forget about the day one stoolies. They give this guy from England seven figures when he just heard a bar stool last week. And you forget about your Long Island and your Northeast roots. So, you know, Barstool chose their champion. Their champion is Patty. And, you know, I'm coming for him.
Maybe you want to join up with them. Maybe you'll take that money if they come calling it as well.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
5 years from now, where do you think you are? Like, where is Matt Frivola if we're talking 5 years from now?
5 years from now. 5 years from now, I will be 37. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. 5 years from now, hopefully I'll be retired and have saved enough money fighting to, you know, take care of my family and make other endeavors to live a happy life.
What do you think you do after this? Like, after your fighting career is over, what do you want to do?
I love martial arts. I'll always be involved in martial arts. I want to be that old guy on the mat, like in his gi still, being like, let me get a roll with you. No. I want to always be involved in martial arts and helping people and helping people through, whether it's martial arts, whether it's, you know, working out at lifting weights or doing yoga or, you know, helping them, you know.
What was the coolest part about the experience? Like, clearly the knockout's great, but for you, what's the one thing that still a few days later you're just still going back and thinking, wow, I can't believe this and that happened on Saturday?
Oh, man, it's such a ride, you know. It's like just like going in there fight week. I went into fight week with my dad, my brother, one of my buddies, Billy Q. And, you know, we were just so focused. I was cutting weight all week, going through the whole process. You know, you see the fight go down so many different ways in my head through my visualization and whatnot. And then it goes in. And when you do it, it's almost like I've been there. Like I saw that walkout so many times. I felt, you know, the canvas under my feet and, you know, we went in there, we got it done. It wasn't how I ever thought it was going to be. I actually, you know, maybe once or twice, I thought maybe I'll just get a left, you know, a quick punch knockout, but, you know, I was prepared for a war and we got a nice clean knockout and I'm ready for the next one.
You know, it's kind of crazy because that was my first time ever being to a UFC fight and they bring you out so quickly, then the fights are pretty quick and then it's on to the next one. You probably didn't want to leave that octagon, right? When you're the hometown kid, everyone's going nuts, you have the support of the home crowd. Yeah, it's a great moment to have, but you didn't want to leave that octagon. You wanted to stay there and probably soak it in, right?
Oh, no, man. I would have hung out with Joe there. I would have watched the rest of the fights cage side with Rogan.
How much of the fights did you get to watch afterwards? Like once you went to Mustang Harry's, were you watching all the fights?
Yeah, we got to watch the main card. I got over there for the main card, which was nice. But the UFC is a well-oiled machine. You know, yeah. They're the top fight promotion for a reason. And you could just tell with their events, you know, it's one of the best live event you could go to is a UFC event.
That Poirier Chandler fight was really something. That was a great fight.
Oh, that was insane. That was a great fight.
Were there guys, cause you're a little bit older, were there guys that you kind of looked up to, or it was like so surreal when you first got into it that you say, okay, like I'm kind of on their level or in the same sport as them. Were there guys for you that you really did admire and learn from, whether it was watching them or just seeing the way that they train?
Yeah. You know, and I'm lucky to call them teammates and friends now, you know, Chris Weidman, watching Chris Weidman, you know, and then, you know, before that Matt Serra, you know, and then now Aljamain Sterling. It's unreal what these Long Island fighters do. And I went to Ray Longo. I told Ray Longo, make me the next Long Island champion. He told me to box more. He told me to move my head and use my jab. And I'm glad I've been boxing because I just boxed that dude up.
Wrap it up with Matt Frivola. So you talk about having to make weight and all the training. What is the big meal after the fight? Like, what do you kind of pig out on and just go nuts with when you don't have to worry about the weight?
Oh, man, it's no matter what, win, lose, or draw after every fight, I get home, and then I've got a Sinelli's pizza waiting for me. Sinelli's in yeah. Franklin Square. Yeah, and I get a nice, I got a pepperoni pie, and then I get my specialty slice, a vodka grandma with chicken cutlets on there.
Wow, that sounds really good. Well, hey, I really do appreciate the time. Hey, one more for you before we let the steamroller Matt Frivola go. The nickname is great. It's perfect. It rhymes with your last name. Clearly, steamroller, you're going to roll right through and beat up on everyone. How'd the nickname come about? How'd you zero in on that nickname?
That was my Uncle Dolzy, David Dolan. Rest in peace. He was a Boston guy. And him and my dad were just coming to all my amateur fights, and I was just running through people, and they're like, oh, we need to get him a nickname. He's a Boston guy. He's got the accent. He's like, steamroller Frivola, you know, with his accent, and it rolled off the tongue. You know, you dropped the ER, you add the A, steamroller Frivola. You know, it rhymes in an Italian accent or a Boston accent. So, and he planted the seed and it stuck.
And it was great. That was nothing like hearing that chanted all throughout Madison Square Garden. Really do appreciate you taking some time out of your day today to chat with us, and good luck the rest of the way, and congratulations once again.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Nice talking to you. I really appreciate all the support and all the love that I'm feeling from New York, Long Island, and everybody.
You got it. There he is, the steamroller, Matt Frivola, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What an excellent conversation that was, and if you've never been to a UFC event, you got to go, because it was absolutely sensational being in that building at UFC 281 on Saturday night. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll break and come on back after these short messages.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Now, Hickey, we have never seen a bad weather game so far on Amazon. And what I mean by that is snow. The snow looks so cool tonight. And I don't know how much different the cameras are from the regular cameras that they use. But you can't notice it when it just zoomed out. Like right now, Tennessee, first drive of the game, is already in the red zone. They're moving the ball down the field. They're already at Green Bay's 15. When they show the entire field as Tennessee just scored a touchdown, you can't really realize it until Hilliard, who gets a score on the passing touchdown from Ryan Tannehill. But when they zoom in, it's almost as if I'm watching a video game, kind of like a scene from Halo or something like that, where you really zoom in on that snow. It looks really cool. Is that just me?
No, I'm with you. It's pretty badass. Good job by Jeff Bezos for, you know, going all in here on the Amazon production, because you're right. Like when they're zoomed out like a normal TV angle, it looks,
you can't tell,
good. But right, when they get those zoomed in looks, whether it's a camera quality,
it's so
where
clear
the cameras are, it looks great.
And Derrick Henry, he's always a badass, but he looks extra like a badass tonight with that black, you know,
black tinted visor. Yeah. I'm telling you, if I was on the Packers, I would run the other way.
So 7-0, the Titans do strike first. Like a knife through hot, like a hot knife through butter right now, as they go right through that Packer Swiss cheese defense. As you could just do all the puns in the world that you want on this one. Tennessee does strike first. They're up 7-0. Extra point is good. On that drive, Ryan Tannehill, 4-5 for 68 yards. Derrick Henry, 3 carries for 15 yards. And how about Treylon Burks, Hickey, getting into the fold, a reception for 43 yards. Maybe he starts to get moving in the right direction. Remember, had all those problems in training camp, getting on the field, asthma too, and then been out for a little bit. Now made a return last week, and last week only had 3 receptions for 24 yards, but already gets a big reception in this game and put some yards on it running as well. And now it's a 7-0 game right out of the gate, and this is where it gets tricky for Green Bay. Now, it's a first drive that they're going to get for the game, so let's not get delirious. Let's not get nuts here. You don't want to deviate too far from the script, but if you don't go put points on the board and then your defense makes a stop, and, you know, the Tennessee defense makes a stop and they get the ball back and Tennessee goes right down the field again, then you're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. And once you have to throw the ball more than you would probably want if you're the Green Bay Packers, yes, you have Aaron Rodgers, but that's when you enter this world of uncertainty, because this year that Packers passing attack has not been reliable. I'm impressed right out of the gate by Tennessee because I didn't know where their effort was going to be with all these injuries. And Mike Vrabel, I know it's early, it's one drive, let's not get crazy and say the game's over, but Vrabel always finds a way to get the most out of his team.
And just like we thought as well, it's mostly they go down the field on Ryan Tannehill's right arm.
Yeah.
Very little of Derrick Henry, which we thought is going to be, like I said, a run-heavy game on both sides, Packers and Titans. And the first drive of the game is Ryan Tannehill, bing, bang, boom, throws a touchdown pass. Again, just like we all predicted, just like we all saw coming.
Do the Titans get disrespected? Or do we talk about them in a fair way?
Oh, wow. That's...
Because when we talk about disrespect, right now people say, oh, the Miami Dolphins are getting disrespected. Oh, the Minnesota Vikings are getting disrespected. You'd probably agree those are the two teams that they played better than what people would thought. And a lot of people get stubborn and they dig their heels in so deep and they don't want to change what their expectations are in the big picture for a team like Minnesota, for a team like Miami, and people try to put limitations on them, and then it comes off as disrespect. Tennessee, by the end of tonight, could be 7-3. If they win this game, they're going to be 7-3. And when we talk about Super Bowl teams, and I want to be clear about this, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. But like, we go through the top five teams in the AFC. Who are your top five teams in the AFC? Bills, in no order. Bills, Chiefs, Dolphins, Ravens, and then probably the Bengals, right? And Tennessee's going to have a better record than some of those teams. So do we disrespect Tennessee, or is it just being realistic where it's not being disrespectful, it's just we praise their coach, we love Derrick Henry, we praise their defense, but in this league, you either have the quarterback or you don't. And Ryan Tannehill is not an awful quarterback. He's not a putrid quarterback. But he's not a great quarterback. He's not a you-got-to-have-it quarterback. His stats could look good from year to year. When you, though, are in a crucial moment in the fourth quarter, and he's the guy that you need to go matriculate the ball down the field, I personally just don't feel good about Ryan Tannehill. So you're probably the most disrespectful to Tennessee out of anyone because you can't stand him as a Colts fan. Do you think as we look at this from a national scale, a broader scale, that we're disrespectful to the Tennessee Titans?
Can I say yes and no? Because yes, like, they have been one of the most, since 2019, so the last like 3-4 years, they've been one of the most consistently winning teams in all of the NFL. So when it comes to teams that just flat out win, yes, we've not talked with them enough. With that said, though, the reason why I don't talk about them enough is,
well, they're stuck in no man's land.
You talk about, you know, teams in you, are they good? You believers? It always comes back to Super Bowl, and the Titans have shown you they don't really have the recipe to do so. They don't have the quarterback to do so. And now, especially, even with Derrick Henry back, they still can't win games with him. It's kind of like the Pac-12. We'll talk about them, but you know, at the end of the year, the other shoe's always going to drop, and it's like, yeah, we can mention them in week 7, week 10.
That's a great analogy.
But you're kind of just, you know they'll find a way because they're not truly at that elite level.
Out of all the comparisons that you've made, a lot of them I have not liked, a lot of them I have liked. I think that's your best analogy. The Titans are a Pac-12 team where we could talk about them a lot from week to week. And there could be moments where you say, wow, they're really impressive. Maybe we need to start to change the expectations for Tennessee. But then when you get later on in the season, they're just not there at the end of the year. And I know a few years ago they were in the AFC title game. And I know they had a lead up against the Chiefs, but no one thought they were going to go into Arrowhead and walk out with that victory. And even a few years back, you've seen them be in some spots where they're able to go on runs. But last year,
the number one seed
and Tannehill threw the ball three times to the other team, and then the Cincinnati Bengals.
And I don't think anyone was even picking them to go to the AFC title game last year.
No.
So it's just like that just goes to show you. It's like you're just waiting, and they've so far recently proven it.
It's weird because there's a lot of teams that would like to be the Tennessee Titans. Like, for example, if I told a Lions fan you could be consistently in the playoffs, they would love that. If I told a Jets fan, I know the Jets are improving, that you can consistently be in the playoffs, they would love that. But when you are consistently there, you want more. And when you want more and you realize you're not going to be able to get more, that's a spot where you're in where you're saying, we're good, but we're not great. And sometimes, not that you ever want to be bad, but if you are bad for a long time, then you could build great moments and build great teams. And I always say this, and I don't know how much the guy wanted to go there or not, and I know that Tannehill was coming off a good season where he beat Brady in the playoffs, but I thought the biggest mistake that team made was giving Tannehill a four-year extension if, and it's a major if they could have got Tom Brady. And this offseason, I just wonder, and they did draft Malik Willis, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Malik Willis is definitely going to be the guy. The guy wasn't even a first-round pick. Now, it doesn't mean he can't be a great quarterback in this league. I just really wonder who their next quarterback is going to be. Because whoever that next quarterback is, you're going to be put in a spot where you have a team that's established, but there may be towards the end of their run. And now it's, can you salvage it at the end and put a bow on top of the present right at the end with ever who that quarterback is that's going to walk in the next 2 to 3 years? Because like Tannehill this year, the dead cap's only $18 million for next season. You know, it's not a guarantee that he's going to be on the roster next year. It's not a guarantee that he's going to be a starting quarterback next year. But can you find a guy that you look at that you go, oh, he's leaps and bounds better. He's the missing piece to go get the Titans into the Super Bowl or Lombardi Trophy.
What about the guy they're playing against? Like, I know you don't think he's going to get traded, Aaron Rodgers requests a trade this time for real? Should he put Tennessee on his list?
Absolutely.
I'd agree.
Why wouldn't you?
Actually, I wouldn't agree. Don't do that.
Well, no, yeah, because you're a Colts fan. But
exactly right.
Look at that garbage division. That division stinks.
It does.
That's what also makes it attractive. Not that they have the pieces like the Bucs did, and the Bucs also had the Saints in the division, but you go to a division where, yeah, it's not that good. And if they go get a quarterback with already they've dominated with Tannehill, imagine them what they could turn that out to be. But if it's not Aaron Rodgers, and let's just say I'm right that he doesn't get traded, I don't think he's going to get traded, it's like, where do you go from there? You could take a stab at Brady again when Brady's a free agent, but you're going to have to go get him another legit wide receiver, because I don't think Brady is necessarily just going there if you don't have a legit number one option. And it's nothing against Robert Woods or Treylon Burks, but that's not good enough to lure the GOAT, I would think, to Nashville. I'm like trying to think like who would be the other guy.
Speculation about Derek Carr.
Is he gonna put
you over the top?
Derek Carr's not a you gotta have him guy.
Better than Tannehill, but you're right. I still think they won't be respected.
Slightly above Tannehill. Now Tannehill's won more games than Carr in a big spot. Now, I don't know if Derek Carr was going into Foxborough and hitting a big third down pass like Ryan Tannehill did, and I'm not a Ryan Tannehill believer, but he did that. Now, I know you're rolling your eyes there, but come on.
You're not wrong. He had 50 passing yards in that game? Like, we had one third down,
He hit the tight end when it mattered. He did. Yeah, you don't have to be great when you have Derrick Henry. You just got to be able to make that big time throw. Is there a veteran quarterback out there right now that's going to be available that we could say, that would be a good spot for the Titans? Like, I'm looking around right now. There's no one in the AFC East. The AFC West, there's no one. The North, no one's on the way out. You know, Lamar would be the the great piece, but he's not getting free the next 2 years. Forget about the AFC South because that's where they play. The NFC East, like, you're not going to, you know, I think Daniel Jones is back next year with the Giants, and that's not a foregone conclusion great player.
Carson Wentz.
You know what? What about Garoppolo? Garoppolo is better than Tannehill. Now, I don't think that's a great quarterback, but we've seen him play in some big moments. That would be a good spot for Jimmy G. If you send him
does
to Tennessee.
Does he change, though? Like, we really change the way we look at Tennessee next year with Jimmy G.
I feel better about
them.
It's
an upgrade, but...
It's an upgrade. I'm not saying it's a drastic upgrade, but I trust the quarterback position a little bit more. Wouldn't you?
Marginally. I think one thing that's underplayed is Ryan Tannehill's legs. He's
fair.
Very mobile.
Fair.
Whereas Jimmy
especially
G...
great celebration, too, flipping the ball in the
that's
end zone.
That's true. And he, you know, kills that zone read compared to Jimmy G, who'll be a statue. I'll trust him a tiny bit more, but again, we're talking about marginal difference.
So really, you're telling me it's Brady... And it's maybe Jimmy G that you're exploring this offseason if you're going to move off of Ryan Tannehill.
Well, we'll see Aaron Rodgers. We'll see what this offseason brings.
Can you stop this? Rodgers isn't getting traded
fourth
this
time's
offseason.
A charm.
There's zero chance. You've been wrong on this every year.
I guess really third time a charm. Because after 2020, after 2021.
I'm starting to run out of fingers and counting how many times you've been wrong here.
Now after 2022.
Okay. Yeah. You just keep on digging yourself in that grave deeper and deeper and deeper.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One Station streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. So Hickey, I don't know why I stumbled on your name.
Hickey
there.
And Hickster there sounded like a
yeah.
A mix
that's
between.
What I was going for. I think I was trying to say Hickster, and I realized that my voice is starting to go again as I'm slowly starting to get my voice back. So I'm all in my cabeza right now. But you just heard me say there, and that was right after the firing of Frank Reich. That the first name that came to mind is Jim Harbaugh. To be the next head football coach of the Colts. Let's just say if Harbaugh goes, yeah, I'm happy at Michigan. I don't want to leave Michigan. I feel like we're really, really close to maybe winning a national championship. I'm going to stay put at my alma mater with the Wolverines. Has there been a name or two that you have thought of right now that you go, okay, that's the guy that I want as the next head football coach of the Indianapolis Colts in reason? Because I know you're going to say, what about Sean Payton? Sean is not coming to join you guys.
I agree. Don't get me wrong. I know my limits. Sorry, Christian Washington scored a touchdown. Friend of the show. No big deal.
Look at that. Now, there's a flag on the play. Let's not get delirious. Let's not get crazy. But that was a little debate that we got into. And I said, "You go, oh, why should I expect Christian Watson to score another touchdown?" And I told you I placed an anytime touchdown bet on Christian Watson.
Little Cash Zach, that check.
Little Zach Gelb show karma right there for Christian Watson. Joined us on Tuesday, scoring another touchdown on Thursday.
And maybe the chemistry is starting.
I didn't see what the actual call was. They had too many men on the field.
Too many men. 12 men.
And
free play.
That was a nice catch. Quick read by Rodgers. Everyone just went all out go. Watson turns around, has a man draped all over him. Probably could have been pass interference too. And elevated himself up, kind of faded out of the end zone to make that grab. It's a heck of a grab there by the rookie out of North Dakota State. And then the extra point was blocked. Mason Crosby. Taken. Going back to that great fantasy football commercial. Titans 7, Packers 6. Are they still saying this play's ongoing?
Well, the Titans recovered. They're trying to run it back for two. Now they got tackled. Yeah, I mean, they made it to the 30-yard line. So
they zoomed out of the play. They zoomed out of the play, making it look like it was over. And then the next thing you know, 2 seconds later, they cut back. So that was a nice throw by Rodgers.
Nice throw. Better catch.
Heck of a job there.
A man you heard 48 hours ago right on this network.
Yeah. Well, we can't call him a friend to show yet.
I said a man you heard in this
I know,
this
but
network,
earlier, 48. A minute ago, you said
Fair.
Friend to show.
I did say, well, I'm trying here. I'm trying.
I may have said friend to show earlier in the program, but by our standards, you got to be on the show at least three times to be a friend to show. You got to develop a little bit of a texting relationship, too. Yeah. But I was impressed with his appearance. I thought he did a good job when he joined us. Anyway, is there a name for the were you about to say that you didn't want Sean Payton?
No, I love Sean Payton, okay. But I'm with you. There's no chance he's coming to Indy. So that
I make him take a drug test if he says he wants to go to Indy.
He's not a I don't know about that. Indy's a great town, great place, great owner.
I don't know about great owner, but you have I think Indianapolis is actually an underrated city. From the week I was there for the Super Bowl years back, I thought it was a great big event city, which I never thought was going to be the case. So I like Indianapolis. But I can't see Sean going there.
I would agree, especially with some of the other jobs that either potentially will or probably will be open. Yes.
So is there a name or two that you've latched onto that go, okay, that's the guy that I'm starting to explore?
I'm very intrigued by the possibility of Ryan Day. I don't know if he'd leave Ohio State. His name has been connected to teams like the Bears before. Now, maybe, I mean, this is going to be tougher considering you'll probably hire him, let's say, February, and the draft's not until April.
And he's worked in the NFL, Philadelphia, and the 49ers.
I don't know if he's a guy that, you know, it would sort of be a package deal, him and C.J. Stroud or something like that, but Ryan Day is definitely someone I would be very, very interested in if he's willing to go to the NFL.
Is C.J. Stroud a hit-your-wagon-to type of guy?
No.
If you didn't hit your wagon to Fields, I personally like Fields better than Stroud. If you didn't hit your wagon or at least want to go to the NFL when C.J. Stroud, Justin Fields was available, what makes you think that he's going to want to do it now?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know if he has any interest in becoming an NFL head coach, but you're in the Midwest. If he wants to stay there, Indy gives him a call. C.J. Stroud's leaving.
You know who would love that? Luke Fickell.
That's very
true. Because then Luke Fickell would be the next head football coach at Ohio State.
Open the door for a return.
He would love that.
So everyone wins. Ryan Day wins. Luke Fickell wins. Ohio State still gets a great coach.
How much longer is Ryan Day there?
That I don't know.
I wouldn't leave Ohio State if I'm him.
If he wants to stay, I would say at least 20 years.
Well, he's got to win a national championship. Because the calls and the cries may not be there now. You go another 3-4 years, no national championship. I think then people start to say, okay, you're really damn good. Jim Tressel, national championship. Urban Meyer, national championship. Your ceiling may just be to get to the championship game. And this year, I don't think he's won a national championship this year. I think it's going to be Georgia. Wouldn't you be surprised if someone beats Georgia this year?
I would. But if you're Ohio State, I guess, who are you firing and hiring? Like, if
it's a great question.
If you're getting to the college football playoff every year and you're making the title game, let's say, 3-4 years.
Fair.
Like,
it's tough to move on from that guy.
Only go down.
But maybe he kind of sensed that pressure and gets fed up with it and goes, okay, I have NFL interest and I've been on an NFL sideline before. Maybe he takes that jump. But if I was in his shoes, I would stay at Ohio State as long as they want me to be there. Because we've seen the last two coaches to jump into the NFL waters, and one of them was Urban Meyer. Now, Urban, I don't think was ever trying, it felt like, in Jacksonville, because every move he made was the wrong decision. And for Matt Rhule, yeah, he got a big payday. There's no doubt about it. Did a heck of a job at Temple, did a heck of a job at Baylor, and then gets to the NFL, and now you're back in the waters of going back to college coaching. Like, college will always be available for Ryan Day. You could always fall back on that. but you're at one of those top jobs, top 10 jobs, clearly, in college football with the way that it's been the last decade. I would say it's like a top five job right now in college football, just with the way how you're in a huge brand, you're in the Big Ten Conference, you're always in that college football playoff conversation. That's a job that I'm not looking to leave if I was Ryan Day. Even for the NFL.
I don't know.
These coaches get paid now, also in college.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong. It's crazy. The only guess, I guess, if you want to say is you cut down the recruiting. Yeah. You're still working a ton, don't get me wrong, but at least you're not on the road as much.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's like, you know, and you're not kind of re-recruiting kids on your roster every single week.
Yeah, so you find some young, hungry assistants. And you fly them for the big recruits and partake.
There is a lot of BS that comes in with college athletics.
Yeah,
that you don't deal with in the NFL.
Go ask Mario Cristobal.
That's true.
In the NFL, if a parent bitches about playing time, get clowned. In college, you have to go respond to it today. Did you see that with Mario Cristobal?
I didn't. I respect his answer.
You have the answer lined up?
Yes.
Play that answer. So Mario Cristobal, I guess there's been tweets that the U is in a bad season, 5-5. They got out to that 2-0 start. Then they had all those tough losses. And I guess there's parents that are not happy with their kids' playing time. This is what Mario Cristobal had to say.
I think it's important to teach our own children to handle stuff like adults in a face-to-face manner. As it relates to posting on social media, I was raised very different than anything that would relate to anything such as that. But a parent is very free and welcome to come pick up their son if they're not happy with their playing time here at the University of Miami. And I guess that's my philosophy.
I love that. Come pick up your son. If you have a problem with the play time, come in the building and embarrass your kid by having him leave the school and get picked up by mommy or daddy. I don't know about you, Ryan. I've always said if I was an athlete, I would tell my family, I know it's meant from a good place, but basically keep my name out of your mouth. Even if I tell you, oh, I want more playing time, you don't go online and start tweeting the coach. And I haven't seen the tweets and start saying or tweeting about playing time. Oh, the coach doesn't know what he's doing. My son's getting screwed out of playing time. It's a bad look.
I'm not a parent, but I can't ever envision myself, like I said, tweeting, like basically subtweeting the head coach my son or daughter plays for.
I can see you yelling at the Little League umpire.
No, I will not be that person. That is for chasing the umpire to his car. No way.
When Mraz's kids get older, you know Mraz is going to make a national story. Radio host berates umpire at Little League T-ball game or something
Bumps
like
him.
That.
Yeah. A little stomach thump. Where do you think you're going, Buster? That was not a strike. That was outside. It's T-ball. I don't care.
You know, I talk on the radio. I crap my pants on the radio. I know a thing or two about the strike zone here.
I'm a big deal, right? You better listen to me.
Heisman Trophy. If you had to take three guesses right now, who are your three guesses for the Heisman Trophy before we hit the break?
I will say C.J. Stroud, Blake Corum, and I'll go Hendon Hooker.
Ooh, Hendon Hooker. I really think the Heisman Trophy is going to come down to who wins the Big Ten championship game. If Michigan wins and Corum has a big effort, I think he wins it. If you do have C.J. Stroud have a big effort, Ohio State wins it, then I think he will win the award. Now, I want to entertain Caleb Williams, but I don't think USC is going to be a one-loss Pac-12 champion. I think they're going to have another loss, so that kind of takes him out of the running. If TCU's undefeated, is Duggan going to win the award? Probably not. So the other name I'll give you, and I don't really think he's going to win the award, but there seems to be some momentum, and he has the numbers being built the last 2 weeks. I'll go Drake May. So I'll go Blake Corum, CJ Stroud, and Drake May, but I really do believe this Heisman Trophy is going to be awarded to either the winner of Michigan or Ohio State, because if Michigan wins, Corum will have a big day, and if Ohio State wins, you know C.J. Stroud is going to ball out.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand. Wherever you are,
whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.